Greetings, everybody. How's everybody doing? It's an honor for me to be here. My name is Sakshi Zion, as you know. And today's talk is called Ancient Secrets of Success. So first I want to ask you, what does success mean to you? Everybody has their own definition of what success means. One of my favorite definitions comes from a man named Earl Nightingale. He released this record back in like the 30s or 40s called The Strangest Secret. And he says, success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or idea. So I want you guys to remember this as we go on this presentation. This presentation was inspired by something I heard in a movie called What is New Thought? We actually have it in our library. And it was talking about how originally this wisdom was brought through the spiritual traditions of the world, the ancient New Thought traditions of unity and Christian Science, Science of Divine Mind. But it stretches back to the ancient scriptures, the Bible, the Vedic scriptures. But they were saying that even though it originally comes from the spiritual traditions, today, in the modern time, most of the new thought principles are being disseminated to the masses via the business world. And what's funny is that I found that in some of our new thought traditions, some of our spiritual traditions, even though we talk about the abundance of God, sometimes we exclude money. Like, we talk about abundance like, yeah, we want the relationships, we want the health, and almost like we're afraid to talk about money. And money is not the only thing that's important, but it shouldn't be excluded. And success isn't just about money. It's about having that holistic life of freedom, of the ability to choose and have options and to truly be happy and to be able to have the good relationships and the good health. But it doesn't exclude that success, that monetary success that's going to give us the options, the resources, the freedom. So we're going to ask a few questions. What does success mean to you? Can anyone become successful? Can you be truly spiritually enlightened and successful? Is there any conflict with being spiritual and rich? Is it wrong to be rich? Is money the root of evil, or is it the worship of money that is evil? What are the actions that lead to success? What is a worthy aim or goal? Again, success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. So a big thing that we talk about in New Thought, in Unity, is this abundance mindset as opposed to a lack mindset. You see, the abundance mindset is when we are actually cultivating that belief that despite the appearances, that even though I might seem like I'm lacking, the truth is that there's abundance everywhere, always available to me. And despite the appearances, the truth of my nature and the truth of the universe is abundance. So when we start to cultivate and believe, have that faith in our abundance, we start to realize that there's opportunities all around us. And so abundance is, the mindset of abundance is something that we have to cultivate, just like anything. It's a practice, right? So your mind is like a radio broadcasting system. You can send out certain frequencies and attract back certain frequencies. You can tune in to a certain frequency. So you can tune in to the frequency of abundance, and you experience more. You'll experience the opportunities coming into your life. Or you can tune into the frequency of lack, and you'll experience that want, and you experience feeling like you don't have enough. So whatever frequency you're tuning into is ultimately what you're going to attract and see more of. Success, abundance, it's also like, it's a practice. It's something that you have to do every day. Just like learning a language or learning an instrument, anybody can do it. Anybody can cultivate this. So just like someone that is fluent in a language or a master musician, when you become a master at abundance, you start to almost do it secondhand, like, or second nature, right? For a while, it takes you time. You have to go to class every single day. You have to learn the language. You have to practice 8 hours a day the instrument. And you're getting better. You're starting to, you know, it becomes something that you're doing all the time. But eventually, it becomes second nature. And you don't even think about attracting success. It just is attracted to you by your very nature. The words that you speak, the way that you carry yourself, the thoughts that you project, your radio broadcasting system starts to attract the opportunities, the people in your life that open up different doorways. So ultimately, we want to practice every single day, but ultimately, you'll get to a point where it becomes so natural to you, because it is, once again, your truest nature. Abundance is the truth, despite the appearances that you might be seeing right now. A little sip of my water here. So, I'm going to tell you two little stories here that illustrate this point. So the first one you see up here, there's a little blue boy with a bunch of mangoes in his arms. That's Krishna. And he has next to him this woman with a bowl full of jewels. Well, the way the story goes is, the woman is a fruit seller, so her big bowl was originally full of fruit. So Krishna's parents, they came, and every week she comes by and she delivers them fruits. And Krishna, wanting to, you know, him being a little boy, wanting to feel like he was doing something important, he wanted to buy some fruit from the fruit seller too. So he grabbed a big handful of rice and he runs over to the fruit seller and she's like, "Mango, mango." And she gives them, like, he puts the rice in her hand, and it's just like a small handful and falls all over the ground. But his heart, his desire to give and to share something that was so humble but so true. So from his genuine giving, this moved her, and she of course just gave him a handful of fruit. Well, not knowing that he was a mystical little boy, that he was a divine being, disguised a little boy, he says, "Thank you." And the next minute, she looks down after he walks away, and her bowl of fruit is filled with precious gold and gems and jewels. And this lesson is that sometimes when we give a little in faith, we'll be rewarded abundantly. A similar story comes from our biblical tradition about the widow who gives the two mites. So Jesus observed, as he was sitting against the treasury, how many people were coming and casting of their abundance into the treasury at the temple, giving their tithes and offerings in the ancient temple. And he noticed a certain poor widow who threw in her last two mites, which equaled a farthing, which basically was like less than a penny at that time, right? And he called his disciples unto him and he said, "Look at this poor widow. She gives more than all of them that give out of their abundance." And the disciples were puzzled, but she's only giving a penny. And he explains to them that they give of their abundance. She gives of her want, and does cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Now Jesus is explaining that this ancient principle, this ancient secret of tithing, one of the greatest secrets of prosperity is the ancient secret of tithing. So he explains that in the offering of all that you have, even when you think that you don't have enough, that is when you want to tithe the most. tithing is a practice that we've commonly been led to believe that tithing benefits the church, but actually tithing benefits the practitioner more than it benefits the church. So when you give regularly, consistently, in faith, you start to cultivate that mindset, that prosperity consciousness, that even though I feel like I don't have enough to give, I'm going to give a little bit. I'm going to give as much as I can, because it starts to generate those feelings within you that I do have enough. And if you think about it, if you compare yourself to 90% of the population, you have more than enough, right? In the third world countries today, like, you know, they barely make $5 to $10 a week. So certainly we have more than enough to give, a little of our abundance. So Jesus is pointing out that the poor widow, even though she had so little, she gave in faith, knowing that she would be prospered by surrendering and giving of her, of all that she had. So Jesus said that he would come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. This is why we should definitely tithe. When we're definitely feeling, you know, that we're stretching, that it's tight, that we can't afford to tithe enough. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. As you begin to practice these prosperity principles and you start to apply them every day in your life by giving a little, by sharing a little more, by offering value to uplift others, to be able to give of your abundance to your spiritual center, or to be able to help a friend or a homeless person in need, you start to become magnetic. You start to become attractive and attracting more opportunities to give. That's actually the point. We're not giving so that we can receive more. We're giving so that we become more abundant so that we can give more. That's the key here. So here we see, this is the law of value. It's called the law of value. Your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. So this idea is, instead of being the go-getter, you're trying to learn how to be the go-giver, going out and giving more. When you really think about it, all success is determined by value. The greatest success, so the people that have the highest net worth, despite, you know, those greedy ones out there, the ones that are giving true value in the marketplace have the highest income. So it's important to cultivate this faith, this belief in yourself. You'll notice that the most highly confident icons, leaders, celebrities, successful businessmen and women, they have this level of confidence. So you must develop this confidence in yourself, going from the thought, I can't, I don't, to a mindset of, I can, and I did it. See, this unshakable faith, this confidence is essential, and that's why it's important to practice these things so you start to cultivate this faith in the abundance that might be unseen. This confidence that you can achieve anything, though it might take many tries, though you might fail, we fail forward. Failure is just feedback. You can learn from those mistakes. So developing that confidence is so very important. So this is what's considered the greatest secret. Napoleon Hill has a famous book called Think and Grow Rich. And he says in this book many times this idea, and in all his books this idea is drilled as the greatest secret. And many times he leads you like to discover it for yourself. But what does this mean? Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. We have such power in our imagination that if we simply believe something, even though it might not be true, it has this ability to produce the result that you believe in. So especially when you believe in something that is true, it is that much more powerful. But when you can actually believe in something with unshakable faith, you will move forward with that belief, and you cannot be stopped, basically. So developing this belief, this mindset, is so important. Napoleon Hill also, he says, cherish the visions and dreams. Cherish your visions and your dreams, as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. They say, I gotta believe it, and then I'll see it. But we say, when I believe it, I'll see it. So that's the power of the mindset. That's the power of that belief. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. The next important principle is having that vision, having that clarity. The problem is with most people and why they can't manifest what they want is because their goals, their vision is vague. They say, I want a lot of money. But that could be very vague. What is a lot of money? To you, a lot of money could mean just an extra $5,000 right now, an extra $100 right now. But relatively, that'll be gone very soon. That's not a lot of money. What you really want is, you know, that financial freedom, right? You want a certain amount of money that's going to pay all your bills and then some, so that you can have the options, right? So you have to get specific about what your visions and your goals are. So the problem is too many people have vague goals. The solution is you have to get definite. You have to get specific. That's why Napoleon Hill, he gives a formula. He calls it your major definite purpose, and it's where you basically write this specific amount of money or whatever it is your goal is, a certain promotion, a love affair, a soulmate, health reasons, whatever your goal is, you have to get very specific by a specific date. And you recite this every single day so that you start to believe it and you start to embody it, right? Vision boards, these also help. The more you look at what your vision is, the kids are doing this today, the more you focus on what your goals are and you have a deadline, you start to, your subconscious mind starts to go in action, starts to do some of the things for you, and you start to be motivated towards your goals because you're thinking about it every single day. You're focusing on it. So, oh, real quick, leave it right there. So this is a quick story I'll tell you real quick. In the ancient Vedic scriptures, there's a story of Arjuna. He's known as the greatest archer. And he and his young friends were being drilled by their teacher. And their teacher gave them an opportunity to learn this principle, this focus, this clear vision. So there's a bird on the branch, and he gives each of them the opportunity to pull their bow back, and he goes up to them, now what do you see? And the first one says, I see a tree. I see a bird. I see the sky. He's like, next, what do you see? I see the beak. I see the feathers. Next. And he comes to Arjuna finally, and he says, what do you see? I see the eye of the bird. Do you see anything else? That's all I see. Shoot! Right into the eye of the bird. He had such clear focus such clear vision. So I'm going to skip over this real quick, but Napoleon Hill gives us a formula. So every day you can recite your major definite purpose. What is your goal? By what date? And then you can recite the self-confidence formula. This series of affirmations that you can start to cultivate those feelings of confidence in yourself and that belief in your ability to achieve anything that you desire. In the Bible, in the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, the Fillmores and Catherine Ponder, they talk about whenever, you know, the disciples, Jesus and the disciples, they were fishers of men, right? So they were hooking these men and bringing them to the abundant way, the way of truth, right? So they talk about the sea is the sea of ideas, the infinite sea of ideas, and that when you go to the infinite sea of ideas, you cast your hook in, and that's how you get specific, by casting your hook. So whenever you read in the Bible about going to the sea and them going fishing, they're actually seeking out ideas that are going to prosper them, that are going to move them forward in fulfilling their destinies, their purpose. So you also have to go to the sea of ideas and throw out your hook and get specific and pull back that plan, that vision, that goal that's going to take you to the next level and then to the next level. This is also like planting a garden, you know? When you plant a garden, you plant specific seeds to grow specific vegetables and fruits. If you don't plant the right seeds, you're just going to have a weed of this and that. And that's what your mind, that's what your life will be, just full of weeds. Unless you pluck them out and plant the right seeds, right? So you can cultivate specific fruits that are going to give you the life that you want, right? So the next principle is the Mastermind Alliance. It's known as a satsang, or the law of association. You have Jesus and his disciples, CEO and his executives, church congregations, a singing choir, a musical band. What makes what they do so powerful? That harmony between all the people. The different minds come together in harmony and they can create something that is beautiful, powerful, that can change people, that can uplift, that can create a product or service that fulfills a need. So any great success, whether it's spiritual, whether it's in business, there's a great team behind that. What is the acronym for team? Together, everybody achieves more. Right? So this is where we come through, again, the Mastermind Principle is a term that was coined by Napoleon Hill. Jesus talks about this, you know, whenever two or more are gathered in his name, he is there, I am there. Napoleon Hill talks about this Mastermind Principle. Whenever two or more gather with a similar vision, a third mind enters in, an infinite intelligence comes in and delivers certain ideas. So through the medium of the ether, Napoleon Hill says, in a fashion similar to a radio broadcasting principle, every human brain is capable of picking up vibrations of thought which are being released by other brains. So by getting in this mindset of what our vision is together with like-minded individuals, people that believe in your vision, people that have similar results, you know. When you come together in this way and you share your ideas and bounce them back off of each other, a third mind can come in and plant an idea in one of the two minds or one of the three minds, however many there are. And when they bring that to the table, those are usually those best ideas. That's why they have those, you know, creative sessions in big CEO meetings and stuff, because they're trying to find those ideas that are going to pop. They're going to, you know, be the next big thing. So in the ancient Vedic tradition, we have satsang. Satsang is where devotees of God would come together and they would talk about God. They would talk about self-realization. They would read, contemplate, and discuss the ancient scriptures, the ancient pastimes of God and his saints and his devotees. They would sing bhajans, songs to God, praise, kirtans, songs that just bring them all together in harmony, and songs that just uplift their spirits and inspire them. They would eat sacred food together and as a community create events and participate in events that uplift the larger community, kind of like what we do here at Unity. Sound familiar, right? So this is what a satsang is. It's what a mastermind is. And then there's little tiny masterminds within our mastermind, within our larger mastermind. We all have our caring circles, our prosperity study group. These are little masterminds where we can bounce ideas off each other, feel that support that we need to move forward in our lives to achieve our goals, our purpose, our destiny. How much time do I have?
You're out of time.
I'm out of time. Yeah, I figured so. Well, I'm just going to, you know, end here. I had a few more. This was an hour-long presentation. I was trying to squeeze as much in as possible, but I think you guys get the gist. What I want to leave you guys with is, again, that idea that success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. That these principles, I was about to talk about affirmations. I was going to talk about mentors. These are all important as well. Having mentors, people that have the results that we want, we seek them out to be able to get the results that they have in our own way, in our own life. We have affirmations. We have mantras. These are different tools that we can use to cultivate every single day that success mindset. So it's important that, you know, because success is, go for it if you, and I'll stop you a little more. It's like a zigzag line. Success is like a roller coaster sometimes. In life, we all know this, that there's ups and downs. Success sometimes is not easy and you get discouraged. So these tools, they help you stay on the path. You need to associate with like-minded individuals, individuals on the path. You need to read daily, read books. Keep going. You need to be able to listen to audios, associate with others, go to events, do your affirmations, your meditations daily. Read different books that's going to cultivate the success principles in your life. So these are all tools that you can use so that when you get discouraged, you can easily get yourself back on the path. So success is not something that happens overnight. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal or ideal. And with a congregation, with a mastermind, success is all that much sweeter, and we can do it together. So with that, thank you very much. So I want you all to get comfortable. Take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Relax. Close your eyes if you're not already. We center on abundance. We feel abundance. Prosperity is our divine nature. Continue to breathe in and out. Deep breath. Imagine walking in a field. in the soft glow of the moonlight on a pleasantly warm summer evening. The gentle wind causes the tall grass to sway in rhythm. The pleasant scent of the nearby shrubs and flowers intoxicates you as you deeply inhale the moist air. After holding your deep in-breath for a couple of seconds, you slowly release and continue to walk through the field. As you're walking, you notice many signs of abundance, piles of gold and diamonds, fresh flowers, crystals, rubies hanging in the trees, scattered throughout the field, abundance everywhere you look, fruits, animals, birds singing. You think to yourself that there is enough for everyone to be wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. From a long way away, you can hear the gentle hooting of an owl as the wind begins to pick up. You can feel the warm air blowing through your hair. You notice a light in the distance that appears to grow larger as you continue walking towards it. You realize that it is a temple, a glorious temple made of gold and lit spectacularly by the full moon. As you approach the temple, you are filled with a sense of awe. You realize that something amazing is about to happen. This is obviously a place of great prosperity. You feel that the key to wealth is going to be revealed to you. When you finally reach the temple, you start up the long winding stairs. You move quickly and easily up the stairs with minimal effort. The movement is so fluid that it reminds you of an escalator, only much smoother. After a few moments, you reach the top and see a large set of doors made of wood. With tremendous anticipation and excitement, you push against the doors with all your might. The doors open slowly, and with a gentle creaking sound, you walk into the temple, which is filled with light streaming down from the ceiling. What do you see?